And welcome back to our Favorite Things podcast. My name is Tiesa, and I'll be your host for this lovely December episode. Joining me, as usual, is my beautiful friend and co-host,
Mofi. Hey, everyone.
Have you guys missed us? We've been gone for a little bit. And we're hopping back in with like our final episode for the year. So if you are new here, thank you for joining in. If you're not, thank you so much for listening to us this year. We really appreciate it. You can find all of our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts. We are also on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Our Fave Pods. So check us out there. Yes. Okay, so we have what is hopefully a lovely highlights episode for you today. We're just going to be looking back at 2020 and just kind of talking about how the year has gone and looking forward to 2021. So let's get right into it. Mofi, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing okay. I'm doing all right. I think it's a very pivotal moment.
Mm-hmm.
In life, I think it's mm-hmm. December 21st on the day we're recording, and
yeah,
folks are calling it's the Negro solstice. So I think it's a wonderful
really?
Moment to be alive and mm-hmm. here and present. So I'm chilling. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Nice. I'm good, and I'm feeling very like curious about, because I haven't paid a lot of attention to this December 21st thing besides mm-hmm. like, you know, just seeing snippets here and there, but I didn't properly look into it. But it's all over social media. And whatever good vibes everybody's supposed to be feeling today, girl, I'm not feeling it.
Hey.
I'm stressed. I was telling Mofi before the call, work has been really hectic this week, so because like we're wrapping up and everything, so I've been feeling really stressed. It's kind of nice to take a break and just podcast
right
and just do something different, right, that's not work. So that's where I'm at. But tell me more about this Negro solstice thing.
I mean, it's mostly like astrological stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't know it at the top of my head if I'm supposed to tell you what's going on. All I know is that there's many like conjunctions that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. I'm also just trying to pull it up to see if I can find some info for all you folks out here. Yeah, it's essentially like, well, it's cap season. It's like, I guess some folks are like determinant, like, you know, the great conjunction where like Saturn and Jupiter, the two planets, are at 0 degrees in Aquarius. I feel like I'm bullshitting because I'm not like the person to be talking about this shit. That's like the astrological bit of it. Like, just many things are happening. You know, it's a great time to like, you know, set intentions, you know, manifest things, stuff like that. What actually happened was that on Twitter, there was, so the great conjunction, it ends the age of Earth and begins the age of Air. Okay, so I guess like, because we're moving from like, you know, being in Capricorn, to like moving to being in Aquarius, like I guess part of all of this conjunction stuff, and Aquarius is more of like, you know, free stuff, like, you know, you have space to make mistakes, everything, like just living more freely, whereas like in Earth types of energies, it's more about being like, you know, having your goals, being like grounded in a different way, and there's little room for like mistakes, I'd say.
I see.
But what actually happened was that on Twitter, I don't know what the conversation was going on, but this Black woman had tweeted about how, like, you know, on December 21st, like, Black people are going to get, like, superpowers and stuff. Oh. Yes, so that's really the whole vibe. Like, it got picked up, and, like, people have just been so stoked about like getting
Oh,
superpowers
wow.
and shit. I could actually find what that tweet was about actually.
That's crazy.
But it said like as Black people, genetically we are stronger and smarter than everyone else. We are more creative. On December 21st, our real DNA will be unlocked and majority will be able to do things that we thought were fiction. Learn who you are as people. They want to make us average. So since then,
Oh, I
everyone's been like,
see.
lit. We
Getting
are
superpowers.
transcending beyond. So that is
Wow.
the tea.
Wow. Okay. Thanks for catching us up. If you could choose a superpower, though, what would you want to have?
I think, well, that's a really good question. I've tried not to think about it because I guess I haven't given myself space to like dream in a way about this. But like if I could have a superpower, I like the ability to like I guess travel like quickly, like just appear in a
Ooh, that's a good
space.
one. Yeah.
I feel like that could like bring about so much nausea, though. I feel like it would just be a very like nauseating experience.
It'd be like so quick, and then you land and you're like, God, what just
Yeah, like
happened?
this is gross, but I would like that ability to just be elsewhere quickly.
Yeah, I like that. I would also choose that, but then for the purposes of just seeing something different than you, I would like the ability I would like the ability to just like have anything I want. Like money was not a problem. Like I could just buy things and like pay for things and like spend money and give it away. Yeah. I'd love for that to be like my hands just created money. Money.
I'm like, is that a superpower? It sounds like many people live their lives in this way.
Girl.
Sounds like capitalism. I'm joking.
Girl, no. It's controlled. Mine wouldn't be controlled. The money would just be coming out of
I'm
my
just
hands
coming
at that point.
out.
Money, 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 money. Okay, before we go off on that tangent. Oh man, I was gonna ask you about something. Okay, yeah, so how are you feeling being in the last few days of December? It's like
Yo,
literally like 11 days left in
really?
2020. Yeah.
It feels pretty cool. I mean, my birthday, I'm a Capricorn, so for me it's almost like
Yeah.
it doesn't feel like last in a way. It feels like a new year really, or a new moment for me. So like the last couple of days in December feel very like I don't know, they feel very rejuvenating. Like it feels quite exciting. You
I
know, it
love
feels
that.
like there's like opportunities that are about to happen, especially with like at least like for me with my new year, but also like with this like I don't know vision of like I don't know the ending of a calendar year. That means that it's space to like create new things. So I get excited. I am feeling quite thrilled.
I love that. I love that look on it because for me, I'm just, I don't know, it's kind of just been like, okay, like let's get it, going and over with. Like we're going to go into 2021 with COVID, and so it just feels very like, and I'm saying that, obviously I'm saying that very loosely. Of course, like so many things have happened, including like, I think now two different vaccines have been approved for emergency use and all of that. So like, it's not all doom and gloom, but just like, I kind of wish that I could like push a button and like this pandemic would just be over. But we're going to get to talking about the pandemic in a bit because, of course, it's kind of hard to go through 2020 without talking about COVID. But I wanted us to share some things that we want to highlight from this year, like some memorable moments, some major milestones. What were some moments that 2020 brought for you that, or well, for us that we want to share, starting with you?
Honestly, I actually don't really know. It's I guess it's interesting to think of like major things that happened this year as like as highlights. Because well, honestly, I think like for me, it would be talking about a lot of like the organizing that happened in 2020 as a true highlight of this year, and I think there's space for that in this podcast to talk about. So personally, I don't know. It's just been like the year has really just been like it's felt like a truly like deep uncovering, or maybe that's just where like I'm situated right now, and I should have probably done this reflection better. But it was hard to even like do the reflection on it because I'm like, what really are the highlights of this year? For me, I think like on one level, I guess talking about COVID, it was nice to still be able to like hang out with like my friends and like just create I don't know, create what we could create when it comes to like spending time together and enjoying time with one another. I would say that that's something that was really highlight, as well as honestly, just like the only one thing I wrote down in it, and I guess I wanted to be more like more superficial about it, was like reading. I think like this year, I really like I had said I wanted to read like 20 books or something, and like not even thinking about the numbers anymore, but like just seeing how like that was what kind of manifested in the like realm of books that I wanted to read, like nothing that felt too much, but something that felt more consistent for me was that, yeah, that's it for now.
Okay, for me with reading, it's been interesting. Like I set a goal for like 30 books this year. And again, like Mophie, like the number is fairly arbitrary for me. I just like set a random number. But it's been so hard for me to read this year. Like I found that even when I've like taken out time to read, it's felt like I've needed to put in more effort than I usually do to like get myself to finishing a book, which is just not like it's like the complete opposite of anything that ever happens with me. Like, I just like read without even, it's not something that I really have to kind of think about doing. So I was looking at my Goodreads yesterday and I saw that I'm like 9 books behind schedule. And I was like, well, it is what it is. Like, that's what happened. And I'm just gonna go with it. Like, when I feel kind of more at ease reading again, then I will. And it's also, I guess I'll just kind of go into talking about mine. It's also happened with my writing, where it's been a year where I haven't been able to really write or really to get myself into a mindset of writing. And being that, like, that's kind of a significant part of what I do outside of like my professional work, it's been a lot to deal with. Like, well, not a lot, but it's been like something significant to deal with where I'm like, wow, like I want to write and I'm really struggling too. But again, from that, I kind of pivoted to saying, okay, well, instead of trying to write for myself, like, why don't I just share other people's stories? And so I started doing like friendly footprints on my blog. And if you follow me on Instagram, you'll have seen it. So I've just kind of been talking to people about their trips before the pandemic, and actually one person during the pandemic, and it's been nice to just share other people's stories while I haven't been able to write. So those are like kind of two, I guess, highlights, not really highlights, just kind of moments from the year that I like noticed. I think another thing I wanted to highlight this year is that we finally like took the plunge to like expand our team here at our Faith Pods. So
True.
it's not just Mofi and I anymore. Well, it's probably only our voices you'll still be hearing, but we've gotten some support, and so far so good. It feels great. So it feels like a it felt like a really good moment, I think, for us. It's a good time.
Very true.
To be expanding, and I'm excited to see like what comes out of it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's yeah, those are kind of like what I'll just highlight for now. But yes, okay, so in kind of the same vein, moving through like that similar conversation, what are some lessons you feel like you've learned from this year? Or one lesson, honestly, because sometimes it's one big lesson.
Right. Wow, I think that what why are you giving me that look, Tiffy?
Guys, Mophie's always prepared, okay? I'm trying not to drag her out here in these
I am
streets.
dead. No, I think 2020 has been an interesting year. It's been maybe like emotional on some level. Because like a big lesson that I have learned or is learning is around like choice, like knowing like I have like a choice, I have like control over like certain things over my life, like that shift into I guess seeing things and not like completely obviously, but like seeing things of like seeing the roles that I can play in determining my truth or determining like what my experiences are. I think that also comes with for me like learning how to like put myself first and like honor like my emotions and actually understanding like what that means. I think like it's been a journey of thinking of like thinking I knew what that meant, of what it meant to like put myself first, or what it meant to like understand like my needs. But this year, I think it's been more of an uncovering of that. Yeah, but also like how things are in process. I think I'm very much a complete like, okay, I figured something out. That means like tomorrow it's no longer going to be this way. Like literally. It's
And
like
that just does
it's
not
two
happen.
steps. Yeah, and having to like sit in like understanding that things happen in process, but or like things don't just happen completely, around like healing or around like self-understanding and stuff like that. Yeah, I would say like those are like the lessons that have come out for me this year.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, it's been such a difficult year where it's been to the point where I've just been like, honestly, I don't even want to learn anything. But I think like whether you like it or
It's a good point.
not, like you're going to learn things like how you deal with the lessons that you're definitely learning is one thing, but I think you're going to learn from the things that are happening. And for me, I guess I've kind of been back and forth on like, okay, do I like push against the learning or do I like try to lean into it? So like I think for me, 2020, I've been trying to be big on gratitude because it seems like there's been a lot of bad news to be focused on. So I think for me, the lesson is that like bad things will come and like good things will come, but like in the midst of both, there's always room for gratitude. And even to me, just saying it like that, I'm like, oh, okay, but when the bad things come, like gratitude is kind of the last thing on my mind. But I've learned that there's just always something to be grateful for. And that does not mean you ignore all of the bad or kind of like bad things that are going on, but it means that you also recognize that like all of these other things are there too for you to be grateful for. So I've been trying to kind or I've been trying to focus on that lesson. I've also been trying to realize how like I can't like it's okay to just let go of the things that I can't control because it gives me room to focus on the things that I can. Like I can want to control, I can want to like manipulate everything, but I just can't. But there are things that I have control over, and it would be better for me if I like focus on those things. So yeah, like I can't control the trajectory of a pandemic. Like, no matter how much you want to like deny, I want to deny things, like it's there. But there are other things around it that I can do, you know, like I can wear my mask, I can like take other precautions, and this is just specifically, you know, with regards to COVID, but like there's just other things I can't control, you know. I can, you know, use my time at home to spend more time doing the things that I care about, as opposed to like having that 8 hour period, not excluding commute, where I'm giving all of my time to work. But yeah, that's for me.
I think like when you talk about that and maybe like talking about things around what can be controlled. I mean, in a pandemic sense, like I guess my parallel to that is not in relation to that, but for me, it's also mostly like being like just thinking beyond like this model of like a fear, or mostly just thinking about like scarcity. Sorry, not like thinking beyond the scarcity, like thinking beyond scarcity, and again, kind of pivoting from what you're saying on talking about the pandemic, as the example, because like what the fuck, but like just like around like things that I can control, like in my life, or say in relation to like my relationships, or like you know my feelings, my emotions, things like that. Like beginning to think for me, like just understanding that the possibilities are endless, and not like in the sense of like with me dictating, or with me like having a sense of what is my truth, then I can create like whatever like opportunities come out of that. But they are endless, because like what do they even look like, right? Like we don't know, but like sitting in so much fear in some way, you know, it means like the possibilities are limited, because there's like one or two options, and like you're like, I don't want this to happen because I want this outcome. So the possibilities look so restrained in that.
Limited.
But I don't know, when the focus is on like me and the things that I do have access to and I have control over, then there's so much I can do with that. And I think about that more in relation to like my emotions, and like being able to like understand my emotions, like my anxieties, like stuff like that, and just focusing less, not focusing less, but I guess for me it's more so like accepting those parts, like accepting the ways I process emotions, or the ways I feel about things, and understanding them and accepting them gives me more space to like, I don't know, just like express or be who I am. But yeah, moving beyond limitation, I think is really truly has been a true lesson of 2020 for me.
I love that. Trying to have like, I think, a mindset, or like to celebrate like abundance in a year that feels like it's taking so much is so difficult, but I think so necessary. Because like, I don't know, I just feel like there's always going to be moments where things are taken, right? So finding ways to kind of like, I don't know, fill yourself up, or like celebrate like what is abundant in your life, I think can be useful.
I actually had a couple of other stuff for me, like some
Yeah, go
lessons I
ahead.
learned. I think like for me as well, like thinking in the context of this year, and anyways, I'll just say, I mean, this is my podcast. So if you're listening, you're listening to hear me like talk about myself. But like for me, like it's also just learning what power like I possess. Like just thinking about like the extent of what's happened this year, like when I think about like my work and how much like work shifted for me so much and became so busy in the midst of like living within a pandemic, in the midst of all the other things that were happening. And it's wild, because like when I think of living in these times and the expectations that people are still meant to produce in this way, and not to like conflate both and say, you know, to exist in this capitalist society is for us to see how powerful we are. But like just seeing how much like we like how much like we're like people are still here in the midst of like all the fucked up shit that's happening, and how like the society does not give like anybody a break. And like
Oof.
many people have not, like many people do not have it, like many people can't, and many people are not able to. So I guess for me, it's like taking those moments and seeing how like I'm still existing, like in the midst of all of the hardships, at least for me, that I'm experiencing and navigating through, which are very real in my life. And I guess in my particular context, thinking about my brain, like I think it's this year that I stopped to like just like reflect and see like how intelligent like I
You
am in
are.
like just, you know, just like doing shit, but like it being so hard each time, but being able to like produce like knowledge, and not even in a way of like, and then I went to work, but like my brain was thinking and like is able to like critically analyze things, especially like in this time where, you know, there's so much people like trying to like downplay talking about like COVID, or downplay talking about like the role the government is playing in this pandemic, and how they are, you know, how they aren't doing anything, or how their actions are very limited, or actions of other people. Like, you know, everybody just wants us to be like, we're all in the same boat, like we're all experiencing this stuff, so let's just like, yeah, let's just be grateful. And not that that's what you're talking about, but like let's just be grateful, let's just like see that we're all in this together. But the ability to still, like for many Black, brown, like indigenous folks, to still like exist in this world in the midst of the mediocrity that we're like that we have to like we have to exist with, for me
Sheesh.
it's just like, well, I don't know, I feel like it's a tangent, but like in my brain it makes sense of just like the intelligence. So that's a lesson that I've learned for myself, you know. And like just learning how to affirm that, and I try to like tell the students that, like, you know, just affirm like how you show up each time and how powerful that is. And then the last thing that I want to add that I learned this year is just the importance of like chosen family, and or how like not even the importance of chosen family, but the fact that like family is chosen, I think, is
Chosen,
more so,
yes.
what I've learned. Because like, I don't know, I think like with like growing up and like, I don't know, becoming an adult or whatever, there's almost like this like junction of where there's still those like child, like, you know, you want to still have like your family, like your biological whatever blood family and all of that, and that continues to be the grounding and what we're supposed to still be grounded in. Where at the same time, like for many folks, especially like many queer folks, like family is chosen, because you're also like, for many people that don't have the option for their family to just accept them for who they
Yeah, for who
are,
they are. That's
family,
also a privilege.
yeah, family becomes something you create, like people that affirm you, people that love you, people that, you know, you're able to be and still get all of the varying types of love and emotion and
Love.
support. And I think like that is very important, because at least growing up in like in a mostly like cis het society where everybody's family seems to be something that is just like continuous, you know, like your family just loves you and everybody is accepted and all of these things. But to be able to see that, I don't know, you choose these, like all of the people that are, that I would say are my family, are people that I have chosen, and people that like show love in many ways. And to see that and to accept that, I think, instead of just want, like only wanting my
Your
blood, I guess, and mostly around like parents and things like that. But even thinking about my sisters, for example, and seeing the choice of them being my family is something that like we've called, or we are cultivating as well.
Cultivating.
Yeah, those are my musings from 2020.
I love that. I will just add also talking about family. I think for me, I mean, I've always maybe known it in the back of my head, and like I 100% agree on like the importance of like choosing family. I think we forget that Because sometimes the family that you were born into is not necessarily like the place where you feel most safe and the place where you feel most loved. And so you're having to, like, as you said, create your own family. But I think for me, it's also been the importance of like quality time. Especially now, like, I took some more time out this year to just talk more to my family. Like, I'm like, if you have all this time, like, what are some things that you want to do with it? Like, what are some things that, like, you otherwise kind of would not have been able to do because, you know, all of this time belongs to someone else? And for me, a big thing around that was being able to talk, like, have conversations with my family, not just around like immediate needs or like or things like that. So I think it was just for me, the lesson here was just the importance of, I guess, keeping those lines of communication open with the people that I care about. So and just having more, like, I don't know, yeah, more quality time. Quality time was just a big thing for me this year. And it was amazing to be able to do it more, even though, like, I couldn't see people physically, but just being able to create that space, like, across, like, FaceTime or whatever. Okay, so I guess we're still, since we're talking about it already and we've already touched on some things, we wanted to, like, chat a bit about just reflecting about what it's been like living through this year. And I had initially written down living through a pandemic, but it's because it's felt like a pandemic has defined this year. But so much else has happened, so much more defining moments have happened in 2020, and that we've been parts of, or we've witnessed, or read, or whatever. And I'm just curious for you, like, what has it been like kind of just living through all of those moments in this year? Or you can pick, like, I don't know, whatever moments have been kind of important or pivotal for you.
I think that so just I guess maybe even just starting with like thinking of living through like this pandemic in like in Canada where like you know the calls were to socially distance or physically distance and like you know being in your like being in your apartment and so on and so forth. I think for me one of the biggest things that stood out it was space, like was my home space. And the access to space because like I live in a one bedroom apartment that you know I'm doing everything almost from the same space and I and that like that's not that wasn't like ideal like I'm not too fond of it because I think that you know when work also then becomes like home and there's no like
Home,
distinction between
distinction.
that for me at least it was kind of a weird like transition or like interesting transition and even till now like just thinking so much about like access and like you know folks some folks I don't know it's just really weird I think and also just categorizing like this pandemic's like really showing the depth of what inequities look like and what inequities
Look like.
like continue to mean. These are all of the things that folks have been talking about for a long time. You know, if we talk about like
Ages.
data collection, if we talk about, you know, like workers and so many things. And no one really cared to talk about that. No one really cared to like do anything about it. And even seeing it in the pandemic, it's still like nobody still really cares because the like majority of the people that are affected are Black folks, are brown folks, are Indigenous folks, and are workers, you know,
Workers.
and the system doesn't give a shit about those like about these categories of people. So to see like the depth of the inequities, I think that that was yeah, that's what like living within this time is I don't know, not jarring because been like knowing that it's existing, but like when you're seeing it play out in the middle of like a health crisis,
And on a global
that's
scale.
wild. Yeah, and on a global scale.
Yeah, 100%. I definitely agree. And like working in the public health field, it's just like we're constantly talking about how and trying to address how when things like this happen, when there's the things like a pandemic, it's the people who are already treated unfairly, the most unfairly that gets the that get treated even more unfairly, right? That get affected the most. And I think, yeah, same thing for me. It's just like continuing to highlight that like these inequities exist and they just keep getting worse, because nobody cares. And like the things that are more important than being fair. And yeah, that's just it's just kind of sad.
And then there's this false, like, there's this false, I don't know, portrayal of everybody being in it all together. And I think that's also like
No.
what's like
Yeah.
really upsetting. And also like in some way, like how like whiteness and how like privilege has continued to like erase the true lived experiences of many BIPOC folks, of many like other marginalized and oppressed folks, is like this stating that we're all existing in this world like together, like we all have the same experiences, so like why not? And it's more like it
Why
was
not?
very blatant during the pandemic of hearing this rhetoric of like we're all experiencing
We're
this, and
all
it's
going
like,
through it.
huh? Like how do you like do you understand that like there's not
No.
one same experience for everybody, and like your privileged ass white experience is not what like everybody's is going through right now.
Yeah, like we don't have the same access. We don't have the same, like, honestly, around access, because if you want to just like put access as an umbrella thing, like you can talk about access to many different things, like access to information, access to, telling people to wear a mask, but then access to that as well, hand washing, like all of these things, like it's one thing to like give all of these prescribed like instructions, but it's another thing to actually care about how people are able to like to follow them, to follow through on them. Yeah, 100%. We're not all going through the same thing. And for me, it's kind of why I tried a lot not to like outwardly complain during the pandemic, because honestly, I couldn't see past like a lot of the privilege that I had. Like, okay, don't leave your house. I didn't leave my house. You can only go to buy groceries. Like, okay, fine. Like, I'll go to this place. Like, yes, it changed how my life looks, but it didn't change it in a way that was like that removed my access to essentials and to basic things that required me to, or basic things that I needed to live. But that did happen for a lot of people, and that's if we're only just talking about access. But like even if we're talking about like physically, like some people just did not even survive this pandemic. And sometimes I'm like, wow, like some people started the year, got COVID, and then are not going to end the year. And for me, that alone is just like, wow. It's it kind of like, to not to go off on a tangent here, but it kind of made me like contend with my own mortality a lot more, and just like seeing how, I don't know, how just like super fleeting life is, and how like we just really all don't have the same opportunities. There are some people that didn't have to die from this, but like lack of access is what caused it, or yeah, not being able to take precautions, not because you don't want to, but because you don't have access. So yeah. Yeah. Whew. What a year. What a year. Let's see, do you have any other bits that you wanted to touch on in this?
I mean, there's so much. There's so much to
Yeah,
talk
there's a
about.
lot. Yeah, there's like a lot.
I
Yeah.
think like for me, it's also thinking about how like, organizations and even like businesses like responded to like taking care of their people of I don't know, responding to like providing again this access that we talk about, that when like thinking of certain types of work, Providing that option from to work from home, providing
To work
different
from
types of
home.
flexibility. And it's really interesting because these are things that many folks doing disability justice work have been fighting for, and have been saying these are ways that we should be working. Like people should have, people should have access to working from home. People should have different forms of accommodations that they need for work and stuff like that. And there's little to no contending with that. And I even think about how in Canada, at least, when in the midst of COVID, or not in the midst of COVID, but earlier on, I think in, I guess, March-ish, where the premier, what's this freaking ass name, Doug Ford, had said, we're going to raise minimum wage for essential workers. And it's also not talking about the fact that, he also took down minimum wage, and all of these things that a lot of activists are fighting for are just ways that life should be existing.
Should be
And
like,
it
yeah.
just really shows that this normal that folks are trying to get back to was not even a conducive normal for many,
And definitely
and
not like an inclusive one.
yeah. So what does even when we think of whatever our next transitions into the future of what life is going to begin to look like, how is the information of what we've experienced now, how is that going to inform the future of life, the future of work even, because work is hella toxic. And living through this pandemic and going to work through this pandemic shows how toxic work is when you're not even
Work is.
physically in a fucking building, and you're still dying even worse from the confines of your home. That's for me, that's some fucked up shit. So I'm just curious. I see how organizations now have co-opted a lot of stuff, a lot of activism work and stuff like that for their existence and for their organizations to still be working. And I wonder what that would look like post, I don't know, I guess post-vaccine will be the time,
Those vaccine.
right?
We'll see what all of that looks like, because it could really look like, people forget a lot. Things happen and then we quote unquote move past them and then we forget. You go back now, there'll be a vaccine and we'll go back and there won't really be any kind of changes based on, like you said, the information that we've gotten from living through this year. It will just kind of go back to quote unquote a normal that was not conducive for many. How are you going to care about your workers' rights, like the rights of the person that cleans the grocery store or the bathrooms or the bagging person, like your nurses in hospitals? Like, is there going to be care put into thinking about these people, or is it just going to be like, yeah, we have a vaccine, like let's move on? Like, how is society going to change? How are we going to change?
Society is trash, so there's no changing that's going to
And I
happen,
don't
in
know,
my opinion.
I don't know how much is going to happen that will actually be, that will
Fuck
actually
these
be,
people, because we already see
helpful.
there's nothing that's even changing. Literally, we're still existing within a pandemic and nothing is changing. So I don't know what this
Will now happen after when there
hope
isn't
for the
one.
future. Yeah.
But man, we're already seeing how, the richer countries are having access to the vaccine. Like, what was I seeing on the news? How is it hundreds of thousands of people in the UK have already been vaccinated? What does the breakdown demographically look like of the people who have been vaccinated? Girl.
Yeah, it's so wild seeing how inaccessible things such as health is. Literally, this is a vaccine that everybody should have access to for the mere existence of just being a human being on this planet. Period.
We're even talking as far as the vaccine. Look at the testing,
Right.
Mofi. If you're in Nigeria, for example, you need to have 54,000 naira,
How?
the equivalent of around a 100 US dollars. in order to do one COVID test.
People are playing with our lives, like literally, like entire existences. This is what people are like using for money, bruh.
Like profiting off of these things. Like we can see how, like, you know, capitalism creeps in. You know, if you want to get a COVID test and you're trying to travel, you know, there's like separate testing for that. And these people are able to charge like exorbitant prices because they know that you quote unquote. Oh, well, not quote unquote, because you do need it. They know that you need it. And it's just, it's wild to see, as you said, like how things are not going to change. In some ways, they're just going to remain the same because people are going to continue to find ways to like exploit what is already a very terrible situation.
That's why all these fucking systems need to be dismantled. Like, literally, like, they don't exist for any good. Like there's nothing that... Mm-hmm. is going to be beneficial to the non like rich period.
Yeah. All right, so like this has also been a year of, speaking of like inequities, and I mean a lot of the like uprisings and kind of like pivotal moments in 2020 have started from just people being fed up with inequity. And it's been so like so many things, I think, living through a year filled with like a lot of this like activism and uprising. What have you kind of taken from all of that, and how has it been living through all of this?
I think it's been really interesting because like could not have anticipated what like, I guess in the forms of activism and stuff, like what exactly we'd be talking about, which like is like talking about anti-black, like anti-blackness, anti-black racism. Could not have imagined that, like, you know, that would be the focus, that would be the center of the conversations and talking about like abolishing the police and stuff like that. So it's been like, honestly, it just feels like what a time to be alive, like really and truly, like what a time to just be able to be part of this type of work. What a time to be able to see, at least in a Nigerian context, particularly thinking about like end SARS, like what a time to see like young Nigerians like organizing. You know, like I've not really experienced that, or I've not really been connected with that before. So to see that happening, I think it was so powerful. And really giving, at least for me, like as a Black person that like does, I don't know, anti-racism work like within an institution as well, it's like giving some sort of like more power to like our language and access and things that we can speak about. Because before it was more so like we were not talking about it, but like trying to like point out and say, hey, y'all need to talk about like Black folks, or like y'all need to understand that like our experiences are nuanced, are this, are that. And we didn't have the space to do so. And now it feels like that's what this year has given us in some way, like just the audacity and the power to be able to say like, nah, like y'all need to understand that like this is what like Black, like saying like Black Lives Matter means, so this is what Black Lives Matter like looks like. So it's been interesting. It's also been interesting to see like a co-opting of it. Like I never thought like I would be alive in a time where like saying like Black Lives Matter is like somehow cool, you know, or like organizations want to like host things and say like Black Lives Matter, you know, that part is hella weird and like it's so gross. Like I wish like in the same time of like this being a wonderful time to be alive, I think within the Black community, within like other like I guess non-Black communities, and like having the solidarity and having like this awakening for many folks, that feels dope, and like just Black liberation in itself. But like to see like whiteness like co-opt this, That part is
Yeah.
disgusting to me. Like having like all these white people like hit me up and be like, "Hey, I just wanna," or like, or even non-black folks as well, like just saying trash. I'm like, are you not disgusted with yourself? Like, do you not look at yourself in the mirror and like be disgusted? But yeah.
Do you remember, I want to bring up that, just jumping on that, bring up that moment in, like, what was it? Was it like June or something, where all of these brands thought that, like, let's just like say Black Lives Matter. Like, Mofi, when I tell you that my email threads were just like, it was like I wanted to gag after gag after gag. You know when like there's the head, like there's the opening words that like want you to call attention to the email. It would be like, we stand with Black Lives, or like all of these things that like, okay, where is all that energy now? It's like, where is all that like really deep work that is necessary to support the movement, not just your black skin when I open your website, just because like you feel like obligated to. That was such an interesting moment in this year.
It was a mind fuck. I was like, I wish, like, can we just disappear right now?
That can that just not happen?
It was so bad.
Can that just not
It was
happen? I think also
I was
like,
just gonna say, it
oh, go
was
ahead,
just
look.
so bad seeing people like reckon with their racism and be like, wow, we are so racist. And then not seeing anything else, you know, like everything you said that you're going to do is not going to change your racism. So while I'm looking at you directly telling me that I am a racist, period. Jesus. And we have to exist with these
Like,
folks.
I'm shocked. I can't, like, wow. I'm racist. This institution is racist. Period.
Yeah. Jeez.
Period. And then there were just some people who absolutely, it was interesting seeing that like dichotomy between the people who were being performative and the people who just absolutely didn't care. Like that headline that came out about Wells Fargo's CEO saying that they're just like not enough black people like going for jobs at Wells Fargo. And I'm just like, I don't know who I hate more. Like the people that are just discriminatory and racist with their chest, or the ones that are just like, let me paint a pretty picture and then not really do any actual work. Like, please. That was the
So
whole
all
thing.
last time.
That was the whole thing. But in the same vein, I also wanted to talk about how, for some reason, I felt like this year we've been able to like, and this is just based on my own perspective and my own experience. We've been able to center these movements more. Like I, at least, I'm not talking about now non-black people. I'm talking about like how like there's just been so much organizing around movements, and I don't know if it's because we've all been at home, but like there's just been more kind of noise, I think, like around certain things. And not noise, because that makes it sound bad, but I mean more like amplification of messaging, not noise. And people just like, yeah, just you can't kind of miss it, you can't, you have to contend with it. And yeah, I think for me that was like one really like huge like moment where it's just like, okay, this is happening and we're focusing on it and we're talking about it and we're like coming up with, I don't know, people are working, and you're able to like recognize that, you're able to acknowledge, and people are like, buying, paying for lunch, and people are like, I don't know, just making sure that movements are like supported. I felt that a lot happening in 2020.
Seeing all of these, I guess I'm just thinking about like, for me, it's like just living in this time and just seeing how like things need, having like this moment of like there's uprisings, there's like, there's movements and stuff like that. But also at the same time, seeing like the need for things to be intersectional and also being quite disappointed that like we're living in a time where people seem to be more like aware and like in your mainstream, like liberal types of like organizing and and activism, like people tend to be so aware, but it's so interesting seeing how like truly at the core of it, it's still very exclusionary and like an intersection of understanding like who is at the core, like what should this movement be about at the core, and
Be
who are we
about.
centering at the core. I think like that's something, at least I'm thinking about like NSARS, for example, and other types of like I guess feminist types of movements, honestly, within like the Nigerian community, is that like for me, like I don't see how like truly like intersectional like they are, and like seeing it happen in real time is also quite interesting. Because a lot of times it's like retro, like we think about it retro, like I guess retrospectively and stuff, but like with the amount of knowledge that we have so far, I guess it still shows that we like there's so much more, and there's so much that needs to be done for like a true like liberation for all people. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%, 100% agree. If you could, kind of like highlight, I guess, what your like biggest takeaway from like uprisings or like these like really kind of pivotal moments in 2020 are, what would one of those takeaways be, or what would those takeaways be? Like, is there something you would like to see differently,
Yeah,
or
I think for
like,
me it has to be like the intersectionality of it all, and like the fact that
in
like
case.
no lead, like if your leadership is not led, true, like if there's no representation, like no tea, no shade, but I think of organizations like Feminist Co and stuff like that, and I'm like I personally I'm curious to see more on how like their work would be like intersectional. That would be that would also be speaking to
Intersectional.
queer folks, disabled folks, like how we would be intersectional to all these people, or like not, or like even how in their like leadership and their work, that's what would be centered.
Would be
Because I think
recentered.
very like I think right now, and even I mean even just to talk about like for example like Chimamanda, and even just talking about like who and what we continue to like to validate, is that at the same time we continue to invalidate the existence of so many people, and
Of
for
so
me
many
I would
people.
love to see more of a radical shift from like what is comfortable right now, because like liberal like cis het types of organizing is not sustainable. It's not gonna take us anywhere beyond the immediate. So like we need to start like thinking about like different ways of organizing that center queer folks, that center trans folks, that center like disabled folks, that center like poor folks, and all of these ways of organizing and being and doing, Yeah. So that's my biggest takeaway. Yeah, and like seeing how some other types of movements, although still very exclusionary, like some other types of movements are trying to center these things in the ways that they organize or these perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I think for me, like, this is like not even like a, something I'd like to see happen, but more of a, I guess my, not, I'm not shocked, but it's been disheartening, I think, through everything that's been going on, to see like how little people who are in positions of, who are in positions of power, who have the ability to like create change, and who have the ability to kind of like make decisions that affect people's lives, how little they care about the people's lives that they're supposed to be working for and towards. Like with NSARS, with like just the police in the United States, and not even just the United States, because that's honestly, that one is a global problem, because even NSARS is also police. But just for me, I think I would like to just, I want to see more care being like doled out, you know, like I just feel like there's such a lack of care for
Yeah.
human beings, like is reserved for very few. And when people now start to challenge this like lack of care and this, they're like, it now seems, it seems like
Yeah.
ridiculous. All of a sudden it becomes this like huge thing. Meanwhile, like they're just fighting for things that they should have had in the first place.
Exactly. Yeah, I really love that. I really
So.
love the care center. Like, I think that's very, very, very important.
As y'all can hear, there's a lot to kind of like look back on and talk about this year. We'd really be curious to hear how you have kind of dealt with everything that's gone on in 2020. What are some lessons you've learned, and what are some moments from the year that kind of have really stood out to you? We'd love for you to share, like mention us on Twitter. We're there at Our Faith
Yeah.
Pod. Send us a DM, and just let us know what you're thinking. Join the conversation. So we're going to kind of move into our just talking about the holidays piece. It's the last few days of December. We're wrapping up the year. And
Yes.
Mofi and I are kind of going to be in different places than we started the year in. So Mofi, do you want to talk a bit about what you're going to get up to during the holidays and where you'll be?
I'm like, that's not, this is my COVID friendly conversation. So I'm not sure if this is the right time to put
Girl,
all of
who
this out
asked
here.
you?
Considering the context of like what exactly is happening like today in the global world around COVID and lockdowns and stuff. But you know, hopefully I hope to be home with my family. You know, even going through another like lockdown would be lovely, you know, to be like I'm, you know, thinking of being locked down and being locked down at home in Canada here by myself. Is that something that I really would want to do for a while again? So I hope to be in Lagos, at home and stuff like that.
Yes, y'all. She hopes to be in Lagos at home because everything is supposedly closed in
Stay home,
Lagos. Stay home,
kids.
y'all. Supposedly closed. We'll see what Lagos looks like the holiday period. I think is kind of just, it's not just starting, but people have gradually been coming back, and Lagos is like a hot spot, or rather like a, you know, this is where people come to. So I'm curious
Yeah.
to see, you know, what things are going to look like and how they'll be able to, I don't know, keep things COVID friendly if possible as well. So like
How about you, sis?
Mofia, I'll also be in Nigeria. Unlike Mofia, I'm not gonna be in Lagos.
Tiesa, wow. Anyways, if you all follow Tiesa on Instagram, you know how Tiesa has been moving. So she's trying to shame me, but me, I've been chilling with my COVID-friendly practices. But go on.
Let me not shade her, to be fair. I ran away from Lagos. You know, I came to come and visit my family in Calabar, but like, you know, it's been nice actually to have been away from the hustle and bustle of Lagos, but I will be back. I will be back in Lagos in my house. So
Okay, sis. Y'all should stay safe, bro.
yeah, but you know, I mean, it's kind of hard. It's hard to stay safe in Lagos because entire businesses are not even like cooperating with this thing. So even you doing your own individual safety measures, it's difficult because the place you walk into, don't nobody care. Anyway, just moving away from that, it's also
Yes.
Mofi's birthday this December.
Yes, it's tomorrow as of recording date, December 22nd, yo.
Yes. Mofi, you're
It's
turning
lit.
how old?
I'm 20,
30?
27. No,
Oh,
31,
37.
bro. 27, yo. It's a wild time in our lives right now.
Yeah. Oh, is that so?
I think 27 is, I think being in your late-ish 20s. I'm like adding late-ish because I'm like I'm not in my late
She's
twenties.
my
I'm still
queen.
like, I'm still a baby girl.
Girl, 27 is late 20, okay?
You know, but being in your latest twenties, these are years that like you know have been like thought about like growing up. These are the years that at least we could envision in some way, not like understand what they were, not in that
At
way, but
all.
like You know, when you think of adulting, you think of like your late 20s,
Yeah, you're like
you
20, 30,
know.
40, 50,
Yeah.
60.
And like being here, it's the ghetto. Like, do not recommend,
Yep,
but
0 out of 10.
like, I just love it. Like, I think there's so much to learn, and I'm not excited, but what else do we have? Like, there's nowhere else to go. So here we are.
How are you feeling though about turning a new age? Are you any intentions, any affirmations?
I have so many. Like, I'm going to do processes of writing intentions and doing affirmations. But for me, I think it's just really like I don't know, like giving myself space to observe, I think is really what is my key for this year. That like just seeing, like just understanding myself, like being able to see how I react to things and not really like placing judgment on it and stuff like that, but just watching. So that's something that like at least an intention for the year would really to just give myself that space. And I think it's really learning how to show myself compassion as things happen and as I go through stuff. So that would be, yeah, that would be a goal. An intention is just to like live my badass life, like a JK, JK. A bitch is trying to like become an adult, you know, trying to like
Become an adult.
put
Can someone
put
let Mophie know that like she's already fully established in adulthood? This is
I'm like, I'm
awkward for all of us. This
a
is
baby. This
awkward for all of us.
she's a baby.
But I feel you
But
though, like I feel you in like how it feels to be this age. Like yeah, it's 27, but like it also just doesn't feel like it. Like I don't feel like I'm 3 years away from 30. Do you?
No.
Like I was playing with my cousin the other day, and I'm like 19 years older than him. And I was telling his dad how it absolutely does not feel like it. Like, I feel like I'm maybe half that because I'm just like
Right.
out here rolling around on the floor with him, and like it feels 100% normal. Not that you can't do that when you're much older, but I guess I'm just saying, like, I feel super youthful, and I think it's because I am.
Exactly. I think like, yeah, and I think like it's also the reality that like, you know, life each time that is like your reality. So there's no like you're not older. Like I remember even talking to my mom being like, yeah, like one day I woke up and I'm 50. You know, like all of a sudden you're like, how am I 50 years old? Like what the fuck? Like I'm still young and I'm still a baby girl and all of these things. So there is youth and we have to always remember to incorporate like play and finding more avenues to just play more and find and do things with joy and stuff. So
I love
yeah.
that. I love that. I love that. Okay. So what are you looking forward to this holiday? You know, you're going to be back in Nigeria. What are like two things that you're looking forward to or more?
Moi moi and Amala, period. Like, there's nothing
You
else that
guys.
I'm looking forward to than
You guys,
like
can I share a
eating.
story for y'all? Because the last time Mofi ate moi moi,
Ah,
she had food
yo,
poisoning. So
I
tell
had
me how
food
that's what she's
poisoning.
looking forward to.
I'm just not eating moi moi as like festivals because fuck that shit. But like, I just want to chow, chow. I was talking to my mom today and I was just talking about like stress and stuff. And she's like, don't worry, when you come home, you wouldn't be stressed. And I'm like, first of all, that's not true. But
First
like,
of all,
those two things are not. But you know, like just to be like cared for and stuff. I cannot wait for that. And maybe seeing TSA if she comes back from Calabar.
This
But
is so awkward. Why am I being dragged? We'll
exactly.
see, we'll see. And hopefully the next episode we record for you all will be together. Not that it really matters to the people listening, but for us, we'll be able to take
Yeah.
pictures from each other, so it's nice.
Oh my gosh. Tell us what you're looking forward to.
I was going to say that usually for me, like Mofi and I will kind of be like traveling around the same time. So, but it's different because I've been around like going up to a month now. But it's kind of the same things for me. I'm just looking forward more to just being at home. My friend was saying something about like there's a different kind of feeling being like home and being surrounded by people that like not only look like you but sound like you and like just like share cultures and traditions. And there's just something very, there's something about that. There's something about that. And I think for me, that's just more of what I'm looking forward to. Like, I'm not in a hurry, particularly like to leave my family or to leave my friends. So I'm just looking forward to more quality time with the
Yeah.
people I love. And yes, being cared for
Right.
100%. I'm not ready to go
Yeah.
back to America and care for myself. So it feels really nice. It feels really nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what, Mofi? Something I 100% cannot relate to is the
What?
tradition of like Christmas shopping. Like, I've been seeing a lot of people talking about how, are you done with your Christmas shopping or are you still shopping? And I'm just here like, is
Apparently.
this a thing you all do? Okay, but I was going to ask you that, have you done any Christmas shopping? Because you're coming from there abroad.
What is Christmas shopping? Like, literally, I don't get it. Like, for me, Christmas is about my presents. Like,
Do you
literally.
understand? Like, do you understand?
We're here, there's food. Like, what else are we about? What is
What
this
else do we
gift
need?
situation?
Like, sitting around and opening gifts under a tree. Like, we tried that
Bruh.
once and it was cute, but like, it's not a thing.
Yo, my little sister, like, she tweeted the other day, and she's like, I got all my Christmas shopping done. I wanted to be like, I hope I have a gift there because I don't know what you're shopping. Because me, I didn't know shopping for no
Okay, I
one.
was going to say you wanted to have a gift in her shopping, but you didn't shop.
Because this is not, we don't do this. Like, this is not a family
Honestly, as an
tradition.
older sister, you deserve to be given things. That's it. I don't really
Yeah.
want to hear anything else.
Shout out to Mua though, she bought me a Gaia dress. So respect a little sister with the coins.
With the coins, y'all look out for Mophie's pick coming a little late to the Gaia crew, but for those of us who can't join at all, we'll be living through you.
I'm dead. Dead ass.
Okay, Mophie, how are you feeling? Do you have any more bits that you want to talk about?
No, we're all good.
I'm
One
feeling yes.
thing to just plug that you're going to see like a new change from the podcast in 2021, a
That's my
revamp.
part.
Oh, sorry,
That's
sis.
my part.
See, this is the thing. I
Girl.
never know which part is TSS part, which part is my part.
Girl, that's my part. It's because she doesn't pay attention. Anyway, y'all.
Hate it here. I hate our
Wrapping
food
up,
pods.
yes. I'm okay.
What's happening
You
on the
win.
podcast?
Yes. Okay, so you're going to be seeing a fresh new look from us. And just some new news, I guess. We're looking forward to kind of sharing a refreshed and rebranded version of the podcast with you all. And we really
Yes.
hope you guys love it. And if you know that if you're already here, you stick around. And if you find us, share us, tell a friend to tell a friend. But excited to release that in 2021. It'll be 4 years of the podcast in 2021. So looking forward to that. Otherwise, thank you
Yes.
all if you've listened up until this point.
Yes,
We love
bitches.
hanging out with you guys and we don't take your time for granted. So thank you so
Okay.
much for listening to us. We definitely don't listen to anything Mophie has to say. We don't take your time for granted.
This is like, we don't take your time for granted.
We know. We love that you're listening. And if you want to keep listening to episodes, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and on Anchor, where there are our favorite things, and favorites is spelled with a U. You can
Yes.
rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people to see our podcast and also tells us how you're feeling about our episodes. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at our fave pods. Mophie, where can everybody find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter. I'm a Miss Bad Must, and on Instagram as well. I'm in Sadmas as well. Both my accounts are private, so I don't know how people will be able to access them, but
I was like, sis, when do we start giving out the private account details?
oh, the other one is Morphe's Book Collection.
Yo, she's not here. Follow her bookstagram, okay? Y'all can also find me on social media. I'm at TIIESE on Twitter and on Instagram. And you can also read my travel blog, samefootprints.com.
Hey.
Until next time, y'all, stay safe
Yes.
and don't forget to find something to be grateful for.
And
Night.
bye.